city. It was pictured to have appeared once in the sea, and once only, then vanished upward into the abyss above. None of the others had paid much attention to it. It was so tiny that it could barely be sensed at all, yet for some reason the vision of its singular presence in the eternal ocean sent a chilling note of uneasiness through Leviathan's entire assemblage. It was an unnatural thing, alien, troubling.
Slave labor. Grant finished his lunch with Muzorawa in guarded silence, his mind spinning with the idea of sending a crewed mission into the vast ocean beneath Jupiter's hurtling clouds. And it's not the first one, Grant told himself. Beach knew there'd already been at least one human mission on the planet. Once they left the cafeteria, Muzorawa said brightly, "Very well, newcomer, you have received the official orientation." "And then some," said Grant. Muzorawa shook his head. "None of that now. What I told you was strictly in confidence, between the two of us. Besides, most of it was conjecture." Grant nodded, but his mind was still racing. What's he afraid of? Why all this secrecy? If there are life forms in the Jovian Ocean, why doesn't Wo announce it like any other scientific discovery? And why is the new morality so torqued up over this? He thought he knew the answer to that last question. Finding any kind of alien life was seen as a threat to belief in God. Every time scientists discovered a new life form anywhere, some people gave up their faith. Atheists crowed that the Bible was nonsense, a pack of scribbling by ancient, narrow-minded men steeped in superstition and primitive ignorance. Even when biblical scholars and scientists who were also true believers pointed out that no scientific discovery could disprove the existence of God, the fanatical atheists howled with glee with each new discovery, especially when the cliffside ruins on Mars showed that an intelligent race had lived there millions of years ago. He hardly heard Muzorawa telling him, "Now you are to go to the personnel office where you will receive your work assignment." "What assignment could they possibly have for an astrophysicist?" Grant complained. Muzorawa grinned at him. "I'm sure Dr. Wo has something in mind for you." That sounded ominous to Grant. The personnel office was little more than a closet-sized compartment in the station's executive area. It was only a few doors from the director's more spacious and imposing office. To his surprise, when he slid open the door marked personnel, Egon Karlstad was sitting behind the tiny metal desk. "You're the personnel officer?" Grant blurted. "This week," Karlstad replied smoothly. "I told you that Wo likes to rotate us through the administrative jobs." "No, you said it lets him keep the bean counters down to a minimum so he can bring more scooters out here," Karlstad continued. "Of course that means we scooters have to pull double duty all the time, but that doesn't bother our peerless leader. Not at all." Karlstad seemed too large for the desk. His knees poked up, and it looked as if he could touch the opposite walls of the compartment merely by stretching out his arms. The desk itself was scuffed and battered from long use. Someone had even kicked a dent into its side. "Have a seat," Karlstad said. Grant took the only other chair. It was molded plastic, solid yet comfortably yielding. "Okay," Karlstad said, turning to the screen built into the desktop. "Archer, Grant A." Grant could see the glow from the screen reflected on Karlstad's pale features and made him look even more ethereal than usual. Without looking up from the screen, Karlstad said, "Grant Armstrong Archer III, eh? Illustrious family, I imagine." "Hardly," Grant replied, feeling a bit annoyed. "First in your class at Harvard?" Karlstad whistled. "No wonder Wo wanted you here." "I don't think he picked me personally," Grant said. "Don't be so sure, Grant A. the Third. Zeb might be right. Our wily Dr. Wo can stretch out his tentacles and... Hey, you're married?" "He's got my complete file there," Grant realized. "My whole life is on that screen." Karlstad turned his pallid, watery eyes to Grant. "Did you think being married would get you out of public service?" "Of course not," Grant snapped. I love my wife. Really? Besides, public service isn't something to be avoided. It's a responsibility, a privilege that goes with adulthood and citizenship, like voting. Really? Kalstad repeated, dripping acid. Aren't you doing your public service? Grant demanded. Kalstad made a derisive snort. I'm serving out a prison sentence, he said. I mean, really, it's the truth, Kalstad insisted. Ask anybody. I'm serving my time here instead of languishing in jail. The powers that be decided they'd spent too much money on my education to have me rot in prison for 5 years. 5 years? Grant was shocked. What did you do? I helped a young married couple to obtain fertility treatments. They had been denied treatment by the government. Population restrictions, you know. I was in the biology department at the University of Copenhagen, and I knew a lot of the physicians at the research hospital, so they came to me and begged me to help them. But it was illegal? According to the laws of the European Union, which take precedence over the laws of Denmark. And the authorities found out about it? Karstad's face twitched into a bitter scowl. The two little bastards work for the Holy Disciples, our version of your new morality. It was a sting, Grant realized. I was stung, all right. Sentenced to 5 years. When they offered me a post here, doing research instead of jail, I leaped at it. I guess so. Kalstad huffed. One should always look before one leaps. Grant nodded sympathetically. Even so, this is better than jail, isn't it? Marginally, Kalstad conceded. I never realized... Grant let the idea go unexpressed. Realized what? Oh, that the new morality, or whatever you call it in Europe, I never realized that they would entrap people and sentence them to jail. They don't like scientists, Kalstad said, his voice going sharp as steel. They're afraid of new ideas, new discoveries. They're trying to maintain social balance, Grant argued. There's more than 10 billion people on Earth now. We've got to have stability. We've got to control population growth. Otherwise, we won't be able to feed all those people or educate them. Educate them? Kalstad's thin eyebrows rose. They're not being educated. They're being trained to obey. Grant saw the pain in the man's pale eyes and clamped his mouth shut. No sense arguing with him about this. One of the first lessons his father had taught him was never to argue over religion or politics, and this was both. Kalstad apparently felt the same way. He forced a smile and said, "So now you know my life story and I know yours." Grant conceded the point with a nod. "Let's get on with it." Okay. Turning back to the desktop screen, Kalstad called out, "Computer, display work assignment for Archer, Grant A." Immediately, the synthesized voice responded, "Grant A. Archer is assigned as assistant laboratory technician for the biology department." Grant jumped out of his chair. "Biology department? That can't be right. I'm not a biologist." Kalstad waved him gently back into his seat. "The details are on my screen, Grant. The assignment is correct." "But I'm not a biologist," Grant repeated. "I'm afraid that's got nothing to do with it. The operative term is assistant laboratory technician. It doesn't matter which lab you're assigned to. They just need a warm body to do the scut work." "But you're a grad student, bright boy. Slave labor. Cheaper than a robot and a lot easier to train." "But I don't know anything about biology." "You don't have to. You can push a broom and clean a fish tank. That's what you're needed for." "I'm an astrophysicist." Kalstad shook his head sadly. "Look, Grant, maybe someday you'll be an astrophysicist. But right now you're just a graduate student. Slave labor, just like the rest of us." "But how can I work toward my degree cleaning fish tanks?" with a wry grin,